Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Everybody shake somebody's hand. Praise the Lord. Shake somebody's hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How are you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Great.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
What's your name?
Jerry.
Jerry. Jerry, yes, good to have you today, brother. Praise God. Amen. How are you doing, young lady? Praise the Lord. Okay. Somebody shake somebody's hand. Don't let nobody get by without shaking their hand. Tell them you love them. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we want to tell. Love is a more excellent way. It's the way to get it done. All right, Cheryl's got a few testimonies here she wants to read to us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Ted. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, yeah. Jesus.
Okay, these testimonies are...
If you were here yesterday, you would have heard Pastor say that there was a lady that she was praying to God, and she finally said, Lord, I know I don't have enough faith, but I'm going to stand on Pastor Thurman's righteousness. And she stood on it, and she instantly got healed.
Well, 2 hours.
Two hours
later, she was healed.
Okay, 2 hours. She had to wait 2 hours. Okay, yeah. She had to trust for two hours.
The process started right then, but it took 2 hours for it to manifest.
So the reason I said this is to read one of these testimonies here. This lady wrote on March the 9th at 10:40 a.m., so that was yesterday. I got a message from a Christian healthcare ministries who was praying for me because I was diagnosed with carcinosarcoma of the uterus and cervix. So she's got cancer. She told me about Pastor Thurman Scriver and to check him out on YouTube. I watched about the man who was prostate on his hospital bed and how his wife asked for Pastor to pray for him. I have been praying for direction. I was diagnosed the beginning of December. I've been through 25 external radiation treatments and had the tumor and hysterectomy removed February 22nd. The surgeon wants to start chemotherapy in 2.5 weeks. Doxil once a week and carboplatin once every 4 weeks. I went back for a checkup with the radiation doctor yesterday. He said they normally do internal radiation immediately after the external, and it had been 6 weeks since the external radiation, and he didn't think it would be a benefit with it being so long after that. Then his next thought was maybe he would talk to his associate and we could go ahead and squeeze it in before the chemo. I do not feel comfortable with that, and I'm asking for prayer for direction. I know that God uses doctors sometimes for his honor and glory as part of the healing process. I know God will heal me. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes I'm healed. Psalm 103:1-3, praise the Lord who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Thank you, in Christ Army, Alice. All right, she wrote back. Okay, that was 10:40 a.m., which was yesterday, and we had a healing school, and I didn't get this until later. Okay, so at 1:39 p.m., she wrote, the power in just texting your ministry brought about an answer. No more radiation. The surgeon, yeah, that's what I thought.
Power in the blood.
That's right. The surgeon said it's not necessary. I am believing God for a miracle of his great love. I am believing God to get rid of the residual cancer that's from the tumor that was attached to my bladder. In Jesus' name, thanks, Alice.
Praise the Lord.
Right. Okay, this has been ongoing for a little while. I can't remember when the first time was. Okay, dear TLSM and Pastor Scribner, this was on February the 28th, but we had been contacted before, okay? And we had prayed for them before. I've been a regular listener for several years, and I called the Ministry Center back in November 2017 when my husband, Denny, suffered complications the day after a knee replacement surgery. He had both pulmonary and cerebral embolisms and was resuscitated when his heart stopped 4 times. I know it sounds awful, doesn't it? The doctors told us that there was little hope for survival because of the massive amount of bleeding in his brain and trauma to his body, much less recovery. But as I listened, I heard in my mind Caitlin's story, and I refused to receive that prognosis. He not only survived, but has literally defied all odds. We have been in hospitals ever since, progressing from ICU to acute rehab now, and as of Friday to skilled nursing and rehab. He is alert, tube-free, aware, and although he has problems with recent memory, his recovery improves daily. I have claimed the promises of God according to John 15:7 and Mark 11:24. We have two cruises that have been scheduled last year, one with our children and grandchildren, a five-day Disney cruise, and another to Alaska with my brother and his wife. Those are in late April and late May. I nearly canceled both, then decided that as God is a faith God, I am expecting that he will be able to go on both of them, and I'm not canceling. His left side is not functioning. Although he has feeling, he cannot use his left arm or leg and requires two people to transfer and move him more than I can handle alone. Yesterday, after the decision not to cancel the cruises in the matter of Gideon, I asked the Lord for my own fleece, a sign that he would recover, and I did receive that sign. During physical therapy, two therapists and my son-in-law saw him move his left arm, something that has not happened before. Since it wasn't me that saw it, there is no way I could be seeing something I wanted to see, even if it wasn't there. I am believing that we will be able to go on both cruises, not as an invalid in a wheelchair, but up walking and able to function whole. Although we have a way to go, I know God is able, and all of his promises are yes and amen. Praise you said that yesterday. I ask you to stand with me in this, and that I will be able to withstand the arrows of the enemy that would try to cause me to doubt. His left side is functioning, and he gains strength every day because by his stripes he was healed.
Amen.
So thank you, and may God continue to bless your ministry. Karen,
you want to pray for Denny? You want to pray for him?
Mm-hmm. For Denny? Right now?
Yeah. I have one more, but you want to pray for him? While we're
Father,
all
for
down?
This Denny.
Denny Magnuson.
We ask you, we're going to be in agreement, me and Cheryl's too, and all the people that are here, they're going to be in agreement with us. We're going to agree that Denny's going to get to go on his cruises, and he's going to be, both left and right side is going to work perfect, and he's going to be able to walk and run and play on this cruise and have a good time because Jesus is his healer, and he promised it, and it's a done deal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're in agreement.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, this is prayer for a home. Hi, Thurman and Cheryl. This is February the 22nd. I am being evicted because of having a service dog. My church has a small house and are going to either rent or sell it. I can't buy it yet. In 3 years, I'm sure I will be able to. The board is meeting Monday, and it will be brought up. It is almost impossible to find a house on Section 8 housing. I'm crippled with a serious back problem and cannot do stairs. Could you please pray for me that the Lord would allow me this house? As to my back, I saw one of your DVDs about the Lord anointing you to be able to heal any back problem. I've prayed for 2 years now and had others pray for me. I know I'm healed, but it's not manifested yet. I pray daily for my sins to be forgiven. Mostly, I pray for God's grace and presence in my life. I struggle with a spirit of fear a lot. I would be grateful for your prayers. Thank you, Tana. Okay, then she wrote back March the 4th. I got the house! Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you. We wrote back. We prayed and it's done. Only believe. Praise the Lord. Okay, so she got the house. I can't tell you how hard it is to find a place I can afford in this very small town. Very, very small town. Thank our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for your prayers. I wanted to get a hold of you for quite a while. I heard you say on one of your DVDs that the Lord anointed you to heal all back problems. So her back is so bad. But she said, I'm ready. My back is so bad. It not only has four blown discs, it is twisting on top and is full of arthritis. I have a pain pump inside me. I have to take pills also, and I'm in serious, serious pain. I can only walk around my house with a cane. Can't drive anymore. Anyway, so we prayed again. We have already prayed for her. But praise the Lord, she got the house.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Well, we're down to one final thing. We just don't believe. Isn't that a shame? The book is full of promises, and we don't believe. Well, I'll tell you what, it's amazing how that, you go through a healing school like we did yesterday, And I think about the healing we've needed in our own family in the last few days. Cheryl's daughter and her husband and some friends went out to California and down in New Mexico and happened to touch something that was wrong, and her daughter picked up a bug. Y'all know what the demons in the hell in Mexico do to you when you pick them up? They make your intestines go crazy, you get sick, you know, you go to the bathroom a lot, you know, if you can. Sometimes you can't go at all, you know, but she had all kinds of problems. And so naturally, having a good daughter that has seen the power of God work through her mother, guess where her daughter goes first?
Mama.
No, goes to the doctor.
Oh, that's right.
Well, they got
that.
They had the hotel doctor.
Anyway, she went to the doctor. I mean, unbelief. I'm telling you, folks, this is the problem in the church. Unbelief. So she goes to the doctor, and the doctor helps her out, and they do some things and give her some shots or whatever they do. And then when she gets a little further down the line, then she decides finally to call Mama. She did she get all the way back before she called? Okay, so they flew back, they got back, and when she finally got home, she wasn't feeling very well. So she finally called Mama, and Mama got on her pretty heavy. Why didn't you call me a long time ago? In other words, God can't answer the prayer you hadn't prayed. You got to be able to pray that prayer, right? And we didn't even know there was a problem. And so anyway, after she got back and talked to Mama a while, now she's right over here, and not far, just only a few miles from here is where she lives. And of course, Cheryl spent a lot of time on the phone with her. And we didn't realize until last night that Cheryl was picking up her daughter's demons over the phone. Because her daughter finally getting where she's doing better. We have a healing school and all kinds of stuff. And in fact, the devil tried every way in the world to stop all kinds of stuff. They just bought them a new motor home. They were on the way to Oklahoma City. Christy was going to sing last night at a wedding. And as they started to get right over here, 114, and their brand new motorhome breaks down. Brand new one. They just bought it. His first trip out of town. And he's driving everything. So they call us. They need a car to get to Oklahoma City. Well, praise God, we got a couple of them. So we let them have one of our Suburbans and all their stuff, and they headed to Oklahoma City. And so anyway, Cheryl talked to her daughter. She's feeling good now. She's singing and doing everything good. We prayed for her, and God answered our prayer, and Cheryl's praying for her, and I'm praying for her, you know, and everything's going good, and we're believing. And so then last night after the healing school, we prayed for everybody. I mean, we was here till 8 or 9 o'clock last night, and we prayed for people. And finally I told Cheryl, I said, well, I'm going to the bathroom, and then I'm going to my office a little while. And so we had a little bite to eat here, and so I was a couple hours, I guess, before I finally decided to go back to the bedroom at 11 o'clock or whatever, and I go back there, and Cheryl's in bed. She's just all doubled up in a knot. I said, what's wrong? She said, you got to pray for me. My stomach is killing me. Now, see, she picked up the same demon by the telephone. It's amazing how these things transfer. Cheryl's done this before. You know, she's had demons, headaches. She prayed for somebody that had a migraine, and when she goes away, all of a sudden the migraine comes upon her. And so, of course, you know, she captures me somewhere and says, you got to do this. So it's lots of fun to remit the sins of your wife and kick the devil out of her, you know. That's what you do. I mean, that's what you literally do. You kick the devil out. I mean, just think what Scripture says. Just think. This magnums of Scripture, Mark 16, 17, and 18, this is a promise from God. Most of the church don't know it's in the Bible. Most of them don't believe it. But Mark 16, 17, and 18 makes you an awesome promise. And it says, in these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you shall cast out devils. You shall cast out demons. Is that what it says? In my name, you shall cast out demons. Then he goes on down to say, down near the bottom, he says, and you shall lay hands on the sick.
Shall recover.
Not maybe, did he?
No.
So anyway, by knowing these scriptures, I walked in the bedroom and Cheryl's laying in the bed, all covered up, and saying, honey, you got to pray for me. I said, okay, what's wrong with you? She said, my stomach's killing me. I thought, okay. He picked up this demon, so I said, I'm going to kick this devil out of you in the name of Jesus. So see, our weapons are not carnal. You don't punch your wife, you know, to knock out a devil. You use the word of God and the promises of God. And so I stood on those promises. Well, that says I have this kind of power, all power and all authority is mine. So I kick out this devil. I said, you devil of hell, you got to get out of my honey bunny. I'm not going to allow you to be in there. I mean, you know, she's my sweetheart. I'm her provider. I take care of her. I have power over her. So you will come out of her and go to the pit of hell and not come back in Jesus' name. Then I reached over and planted my hands on her. I said, and you're healed. Yeah. Is that what Jesus said?
Yeah.
Now then, back off and wait for the fireworks. I mean, somebody says, what are you? I pray. She said, my stomach's killing me. I said, okay. I said, I laid hands on her again. I said, devil, I'm telling you, I know I'm stirring you up in there. I know you picked up, Cheryl picked this thing up over the telephone because Christy picked it up in Mexico. But I said, that don't mean you have no legal right to us. So we're fighting this battle together. Come out of her in the name of Jesus. Well, all of a sudden she said, get out of my way. I got to get to the bathroom. So she's out on the floor and she runs in and sets on the pot right quick and she's having all kinds of problems with pain and I'm running there and keep my hands on her and everything. And I said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. Well, she pulls the trash can over there and it comes out all right. I mean, when things start happening, you got to realize that when you believe something, hey, how's God going to clean out whatever's creating the problem if he don't do something? You know, so it ain't no big deal. You know, she said, oh, honey, thank you for thank you for loving me and staying here with me. I said, this is my job. This is my job to kick this devil out of you and lay hands on you and get you healed. And so in just a few minutes after we finally got them devils kicked out of her, you know, she throwed up some and some went down the potty and all kinds of stuff. And she got that all over and she said, wow, I feel much, much better. Isn't that something? When we start getting into this sickness stuff and pain starts coming upon us and your wife starts crying out, I've got a terrible pain in my stomach, you got to pray for me. And if you do pray for her and it gets worse, what does most people do? Oh my God, let me get you in the car and get you up to the hospital as quick as I can get you up there. Is that what they do?
They do.
You don't do it like that. I mean, you know, you stand your ground. You know, that's what that scripture say, that we could, these signs shall follow the believing believer. You shall do what?
Cast out devils.
You shall cast out devils. You shall lay hands on the sick. No deadly poison. If there's any deadly poison in there, well, it ain't going to hurt you. So, but if we got that deadly poison in there, what do we got to do? We got to get it out of there. Yeah, kick it out. So when we take the word of God and we speak these promises over that devil is in there. I can just see the Lord now right there sending his Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, go inside my daughter there. Knock that devil out of her. My son is standing by faith for his wife. And so we kicked that devil out. And of course, finally in a little while, it wasn't very long then, she was up standing around. She said, I feel good. Oh, okay.
That's what I think it probably came on me.
Okay, I never thought about that, yeah.
Now that you said all that, I believe that.
Okay, now that we thought about that, because whenever her daughter came to get the car, Cheryl says she hugged her. So that was physical contact. But, I mean, that could or could not be, may or may not be the case, but it doesn't make any difference what the case is. Luke 10, 19, and 20 tells you how much power you have over the devil. How much power do you have over the devil? Luke, put Luke 10, 19, 20 up there and let's look at it. Luke 10, 19, 20, behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not that those evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Is that what that said?
Sure does,
every word. Isn't that amazing? So what is the problem with the church then? Unbelief. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Unbelief. I mean, Jesus, I mean, he told us we our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I give you these gifts to work with in this power, my word, and I sent my word and healed you. Now use my word for my glory, and I'll do something. I'll show up for you, but you got to do it in faith. Remember that covenant that Abraham cut. That covenant. That's my covenant. That's your covenant. Regularly I do that. I use it. I say, Lord, I'm praying over my wife. Me and her have a covenant with you. You bore her sickness and you bore my sickness. You removed our disease. So by your stripes we are healed. It's a done deal. We ain't taking no for an answer. Somebody says, you're trying to get God to do something he don't want to do. No, I'm kicking the devil out. The devil is the one that don't want me to get this done, so I'm going to kick him out. But it's amazing how these spirits, how they transfer, how they can come through the phone. I remember a time or two, not very many, but a time or two in my life whenever Cheryl would be answer the phone or something, and she'd be there in the daytime, 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, somebody called, and she happened to pick it up because all the phone lines were busy or something, and she'd pick that up, and when she get through praying for somebody, says, what's wrong with that one? She says, she had a migraine headache. She gets around the corner and she says, honey, that migraine, I don't have headaches, but I just had this headache just come back on me. I said, it transferred through the phone. Yeah, it created a soul tie by talking to that woman over the phone. You have to be careful. That's why we have to walk so clean and pure and holy here so we don't pick up devils. There is a wonderful verse in God's Word in 1 John 5:18. I want you to look at 1 John 5:18 and see what that says. My true children do not practice sinning. That word practice is not in there, but it means it. My true children do not sin. Now, is that a mouthful? My true children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil. And therefore, the evil one cannot touch you. So if we keep ourselves clean and pure, what can the devil do to us? He can't touch us. I mean, he wants to try to get us. He'll reach his hand out to try to get you by the nape of the neck. But when he does, if he ever gets to where he touches you, the Lord's right there to jerk him away and say, you can't touch my son or my daughter. They're not sinning. They're walking in obedience. They're honoring my covenant. They're walking in obedience to my word, and they're believing by faith that they are the sons and daughters of God, and so they're free. So Satan, you can't touch them. And if he can't touch you, what can he do to you? Nothing. I mean, it don't make any difference. He can walk around there and do what he wants to do, but as long as you don't give him legal right through sin, he cannot touch you. Wow. Now then, the sins of unbelief. I mean, yesterday we went over several of these awesome promises. I want to, since it's a healing school weekend, and some of you may or may not have heard this, I'm going to just touch on a few of these before I get into the gifts of the Spirit. I want you to think what God has given you as an individual. If it's in His Word, is it given to us?
Yes.
That's why He wrote the book, right, Carrie?
Yes, that's right.
He wrote the book so you could have it, so you'd know what to do and who you are and what you could do.
That's right.
And so if you know that, you can do great things, can't you, Miss Jackie?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all you got to do is know what the Bible says. But since we got two good-looking women sitting right there side by side, I'm going to ask those girls to see what 1 John, no, not that's the one I want. I want Matthew 18:19. What does Matthew 18:19 say? So if there's two of you girls,
mm-hmm,
and y'all are together, what can y'all agree on?
Anything.
Okay, does the person that called you for you to pray for, do they have to be right there? No, they can be anywhere, can't they?
Amen.
He said, if two of you on earth agree about anything, it's done.
It's done.
So what's the problem?
We don't agree. No. We don't believe.
Isn't that a shame? I mean, just think, that powerful promise. How many of you, let me ask you this question. You're a Christian, right? You believe in Jesus? If you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus, well, then that promise of Matthew 18:19 is made for you. Is it not? And it says if two of you agree, and you don't have to be together, you could be at your house on your phone and she could be at her house on her phone, or whatever. You could be anywhere. It could be somebody else, or Miss Jackie could call me, or you could call me, or whoever, as long as there's two of us. But if we get three or four, we're even more dangerous, right? Yeah, because one can cast out 1,000, and two can cast out 10,000. Oh, my. So whenever you're really having a problem, get you two or three buddies. I mean, when you get two or three buddies, you know, then you don't have no problem. You can overcome anything if there's enough of you. Every time I tell that story, I think about that little boy, 10-year-old boy. Him and his dad moved into a new place in town, and he had another school he had to go to. So these three boys that was living down the street, they were all just a year or so bigger than him. And so his daddy would give him $1 for lunch money every day at school. Well, when the kids, boys found out he had $1, so they would grab him down the road down there and catch him, and they'd throw him down on the ground, beat him up, three of them, and they'd steal his $1. So it happened 2 or 3 days in a row, and so he told his dad, he said, "Dad, I want you to walk me to school." He said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well, there's some boys that's not treating me just right, so I want you to go to school with me." Now, Dad, he's 6'4", you know, weighs about 210, you know. You know, he's like Baron, you know. Only Baron weighs a little more than 210, but anyway, he was a big, heavy-duty, you know, man, whale of a man. And so they're walking down the road, and of course he sees these three boys sitting there, and here's Dad walking down the sidewalk with him. So he reaches in his pocket, pulls out that $1. "Hey, boys, look at my $1. Nobody says a word. He walks right on by them. You know, I mean, he's really, "You boys, here's a... look at my $1. Now, why in the world did those boys not do anything, whereas any other day they would have tucked him down and beat him up and stole his $1? He just happened to have a little more support, didn't he? But just think, we need to forget, I mean, never forget, we need to never forget that we have our big brother Jesus with us all the time. Did he promise to never leave you nor forsake you?
Amen.
So anytime that you have a need, where is he? That's why he said, anytime you have a need, pray, ask in prayer with thanksgiving and no problem, right? So why do we not do that? Absolutely. Unbelief. I mean, is there anything at all hard for God?
No.
No, nothing. I mean, you can just stop and think. He out here one day, God says, "You know, I'm going to make myself an earth, a world. Light be." And what happened?
Light
was. Yeah, it was there. I mean, why do we have so little faith in our God? I think we don't know the promises. You know, if you knew that promise, just like yesterday we went over, since yesterday was a healing school, we're trying to get people healed. I used the favorite verse that I have used so many times for so many people. In fact, the first man that was in 1986 that I heard that he had stage 4 terminal cancer, and he was 42 years old. Now, you know, normally a man at 42 ain't ready to go home. I mean, you know, normally, most 42-year-old men, and this man wasn't ready to die either, but he got a diagnosis, and this is all because he wasn't producing fruit for the kingdom of God. I mean, he was Mr. Business. He took care of his own things, but he didn't have time for God. Oh, he had time for God on Sunday. He always came to church on Sunday. He's there Sunday morning, Sunday night. He was not a normal Christian, but he was a good Christian, but he still wasn't producing any fruit. He's spending 6 full days for himself and a piece of a day for God, and he's producing no fruit. So the Lord was cutting him off, and he was dying. He was down with cancer at 42. And when I went to see him that night at the hospital, when his wife told me what the problem was, I thought, wow, terminal cancer, you know, stage 4, final stages. I thought, wow. And when she told me, he has only a few weeks left to live. You know, when the doctors tell you that, if you're a normal Baptist like I was, if you're a normal Baptist, what do most people say? What a shame. So I have no idea why he's dying at 42. No idea. I had no idea. Didn't know nothing. But that night, God had a plan for me. When she told me that he had stage 4 lymphoma and only had a few weeks at max to live, I heard a voice. She was standing right there as close as me and Kim standing here together right now. She was that close to me, his wife. When I heard this, it's clear, and she didn't hear a thing. It says, son, don't you love it when God calls you son? It confirms what the Word says. He gives us the privilege to become sons of God. He said, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I'll heal him. Now, I can remember, as a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher, as I started to leave there after I prayed for her, and I probably prayed a prayer of unbelief, because I certainly didn't know how to pray the prayer of faith. But as I'm walking down that hallway, I'm looking up and I'm saying, God, you didn't hear what she said. She said he has terminal cancer and there's no hope. Well, see, I'm bought into that, hook, line, and sinker, just like most people are. But you know, the Master, if you ever get a hold of who I am, you'll stand out there and speak to that storm when it comes in and expect it to go away.
Yes, sir.
Right, Scott?
Absolutely.
And it does.
Every time.
They've seen it before many times. You know, but I mean, God gave them the power, and when they learned it, they use it.
That's right.
I mean, they use it all the time. But if you don't know the promises, you can't make them work for you, because you can't go beyond knowledge on any subject. You've got to believe what the promises are. You've got to know those promises. Just like Dave said a while ago with Abraham, we've got to believe, and we've got to know what we're believing before we can be righteous. You've got to believe. So anyway, that man, as I went to see him the next Sunday, he got out of the hospital that Saturday. And we went to see him on Sunday because I had heard this voice tell me what to do. And of course, that night, after I heard the Lord speak to me, that was the first time, that was the fourth time. That was the fourth time I'd ever heard God speak audibly. So as I'm listening to that and I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, Lord, you said that everything be confirmed with 2 or 3 witnesses. So I'm going to go to your Word, and I'm going to see if I can find anything that says anything about calling for the elders to pray, you know, to pray over somebody to see if they can get healed, because I'd never seen that. So I went to the Word, and I found this scripture in James chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. Now, I want you to see this thing. This is written in God's Word, James 5, 14, 15, and 16. And when you read that, if you're sick, what will that do for you? What does it say? Mike, what does that say?
Is there any sick among you?
Okay. It wouldn't make any difference who that meant. Right, that could be me, you, one of these men, women, girls, boys, anybody sick among the church, right?
That's right.
Okay. Keep reading.
Let him call on the elders of the church.
Okay. Now, do we all have elders in the church?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm considered an elder. I mean,
yeah.
Barron, he's considered an elder. I don't even... How old are you, Barron? How much?
41.
41. You're a good elder age, yeah. You're really. That's a good age. By the time a man gets to be 41, he ought to be solid rock Jesus, right?
Amen.
Yeah. So anyway, we got elders of the church. Anybody that you think is somebody that would believe the Word of God, you call these elders and say, okay, Lord. And what does it say next, Mike?
Let them pray over him, anointing
Okay, now, so if we get somebody that's sick, if they come in and say, I want to use James 5, 14, 15, 16, and I want you to pray over me for healing, does that say that God will heal you sometimes, or if you've been a good boy, or whatever?
No.
No, he just says, do what I said, right?
Yeah.
So we take some oil, and that doesn't seem too difficult. I mean, if Barron was sick, and he comes to me and says, Thurman, I need to be prayed over to be sick, I want to use James 5:14, so I get my bottle out, get a little oil on there, put a little oil on him, and I say, I'm going to anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus. Now, then, with Ed Brock that time, the man had terminal cancer. This is the first time I'd ever done this, so I didn't have a clue how it worked. So when we went to anoint him that night, he said, what do you do? I said, I guess I just poured on you. So I just poured the bottle on him, and it started going down, and I started rubbing it in and all this kind of stuff. I tried to get it off the seat. I didn't know what I was doing. It was my first time ever to anoint somebody with oil. Let me tell you, you got to start somewhere. Right? I mean, God didn't start me out with no headache. He gave me a man that had stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer. He's going to put me to the test. Is that right? In other words, this way, if this boy gets healed after we do this, we're going to all know that it was God. Because when we went that night after we finally, I've been to see him several times and tried to get him to call, I went to see him and told him that I even told him that God spoke to me. And he said, Thurman, you must think I'm crazy. I never heard anybody say God spoke to them. I said, but he spoke to me and told you what to do. And I believe with all my heart, if you'll do what he said, he'll heal you. Well, finally, a few days later, Monday night when I come in, my phone rang, and it was Ed. And he said, Thurman, I've been reading those scriptures, James 5, 14, 15, 16, over and over and over. And they do say exactly what you said. It says, if any sick among you, and he said, I'm very sick. If I want to be healed, he said, call for the elders and anoint me with oil. I want to do that. Because he said, I don't want to die at 42. I said, okay. So anyway, that night when I got there, when he called and said he wanted to do it, I called some men. And 28 men showed up at Lakeland Baptist Church in Louisville to pray. When I walk in, I got my little sack. It looked like a Coke bottle. It was a bottle of oil. I'd bought it at the grocery store. And when I walked in, he says, what do you got in that sack? I said, a bottle of olive oil. He said, have you ever done this before? I says, no. He said, where'd you get that oil? I said, at the grocery store. He said, oh, great. I have stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer, with a man that has no experience, with a bottle of oil he picked up at Tom Thumb, and we think I'm going to get healed? Why does God do things so stupid? Why does he do it like that? Because he does it to make sure after he's healed you, you know it was him. I mean, everybody in their right mind knows that there ain't no bottle of olive oil from Tom Thumb or nothing else you can do. God just tells us all you need to do is pray. All you need to do, you have a covenant with God, and all you need to do is pray and believe, and it's a done deal. So why don't we believe? And then what's the rest of that say, Mike?
15.
Are we on the...
In
the next verse, okay.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Oh my goodness, boy, that's a kicker.
Amen.
And the prayer of faith
shall save the sick.
Now then, if you're listening, that's got to touch you. He's got terminal cancer, and the prayer of faith
shall save the sick.
Wow. So why is this unbelief demon so powerful in us? Why do we not believe we can do things when God told us? I mean, here this simple, I mean, he gave us these scriptures for everything, but this particular one is just pertaining to the healing of this man with terminal cancer. I mean, that man was told clearly by the MD Anderson, Mayo Clinic, and everybody, you know, that he had terminal cancer and he's going to die in a few days. There ain't nothing nobody can do. It's all over his whole body. So what do? If God tells you. I mean, but did God need to tell me that? Did he tell us in the Word, Mike?
Yes, he did.
He did. I mean, I don't need an audible or a word from God. I have a word and a covenant with God. And His covenant is, by His stripes, we are healed. But he put all kinds of little things in there to get our attention. Like this whole three or four scriptures here. Mike's reading that, and he's telling us that if we will pray the prayer of faith, Jesus will forgive us and He will heal us. Is that what he said, Mike?
That's what he said.
And can God lie?
No.
Heaven, oh my good forbid. That you should even entertain the thought that God could lie. Now, you can lie. I can lie. But He can't lie. So, why? I just want you to tell me. Why is it that so many people in the church are sick and so few of them believe? I mean, we don't need a book full of stuff. We've got a book with just a few little things. What if the only scripture we had was James 5:14, 15, and 16? I mean, if that was the only one we had and you were sick, what should you do with that?
Get healed.
Get healed, absolutely. But you'd have to believe.
Yes, sir.
That covenant, like Dave talked about a while ago, God done His part and it's sealed. It can't change. It didn't make any difference how Abraham was asleep or not. God wasn't asleep when He made His part. So now then, if you only believe, just like Abraham, all you got to do is believe and your covenant is sealed rock solid. And if you call the elders to pray over you, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, the Lord will raise you up, and if you've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Is that what He said, Mike? My goodness gracious alive. So why do people? I just talked to a gentleman here in the church a while ago before we started. He's telling me about a friend of his that he knows that has a son-in-law that's only like 50 years old, and he's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Does he have to die?
No.
No. He does not have to die. But just think, here we are, a 50-year-old man with terminal cancer. And I think he professes to be a Christian. But obviously he's going to a place somewhere, a church, that doesn't teach the healing power of God's Word. Of course, do you need a whole book full of promises? He gave us a book full, didn't He? But how many promises do we need to get somebody healed?
One.
Just one. Do we have the one in James 5:14? We have it, don't we? So if my friend will go to his friend and tell him we need to come out and see Pastor Thurman. We need to come out here and sit down with him and we need to talk about God's Word. Now then, do you want to live or die? It's really simple. Just like Ed Brock. I kept going to Ed. When I went to Ed the first time, and when I didn't know these scriptures. I had never seen these things happen. So when I went to see Ed the first time, I mean, I just went up there to be a good deacon and to pray for him, see what the diagnosis was. But when his wife said, he has terminal cancer in every organ of his body, I mean, I knew it was over. I knew it was over. I didn't know who lived in me. I didn't know I was the righteousness of God in Christ. That had not worked its way into me yet. But now I know it. And when I pray for you, if you believe, we got a covenant, right, kids?
Right.
So when you pray with somebody and you got a covenant, you can stand on that covenant. And of course, the thing about this, Abraham, we don't want it to take as long as Abraham did. That's just like when Cheryl was all, you know, bent over there and feeling terrible and her body in the shape it was in and everything else. She needed some prayer and she needed some relief and she needed it now. Y'all understand? You ever been there?
Yeah.
We need some relief and we need it now. But praise God. Of course, the thing about it is, whenever you start commanding these spirits, when you realize who the enemy is, it's the devil. The devil's in there. Of course, you know, God made him too, you know, so he made him really good. He's a good fighter. He's really a good fighter, you know. So he gets in there, and man, he stirs you all up, and you got to get rough with him. Sometimes you have to raise your voice a little. Devil, I told you to get out of my wife in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not putting up with this nonsense. You get out and leave her alone. I have a covenant with God, and he said that by his stripes we are healed. So, and he told me that I have all power and authority over you. In fact, that's what we told Christy the other night when Cheryl and I prayed. We let her read that scripture, that we have power and authority. And Cheryl prayed for her daughter right there. Of course, she was over at her house at that time. But it's amazing. In just a little while, when Cheryl called her back, she said, "Oh, Mama, I'm feeling good now. I think I can go to Oklahoma City." And she's going to, and so they drove yesterday to Oklahoma City to a wedding, and she's singing in that wedding. And then they drove back, and somewhere around 3 o'clock this morning, they called and said, "We'll probably be 4 or 5 o'clock. When we get here, we'll leave your car out here under the shed." You know, but she's feeling good. But she didn't realize her mama had picked up her spirit. So we had to kick that devil out. But we've had this before. I've had it. She's had it. Sometimes she has to kick the devil out of me. That's what every good Christian woman wants to do to her husband. When she gets a chance to kick the devil out of him, she's going to take that. You need to be careful because he might punch you. And then a time or two, Cheryl gets upset at me enough that when she comes over and she kicks the devil, she actually punches me. Yeah, that's okay. I remember a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth that he used to get forceful. I remember a guy coming up one time in the line for prayer. This guy said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, and both of them had a really bad stomachache. He said, "I got this terrible stomachache." Smith reached up and grabbed him by the back of the neck and went, bam, hit him right in the stomach. When he did, the guy fell down. He said, what'd you do? He said, "You're healed." And he got up and the guy said, "Oh, my God, my stomach, that problem is totally gone. I am healed." Okay, he said, "Next, what's wrong with you?" He said, I don't have anything wrong with you." But Smith Wigglesworth, he was a man of faith. When he prayed for you, it was done. You know that? He believed, and when he prayed, it was done. And sometimes he would use physical force to kick the devil out. The most awesome one I ever heard about him was he standing on that platform about 4 feet off the floor. Somebody handed him this little child, all twisted. Handed him the child, and he just took the little child. People were standing all around the front. He just walked up to the edge of the platform, dropped the child, and kicked the child. Somebody said, "Kill that idiot. He's trying to kill that little girl." He said, "No, I just kicked the devil out of her. She's healed." And they pick up that little child, and the little child starts running all over the place, totally, completely, normally healed. He understood who the enemy was and his power and authority over that beast. We're a bunch of wimps. We need to get rid of them wimps, don't we, Mike? We need to become men like that, men that's not afraid of the devil. Men that knows we're clean and pure and that devil can't hit us. If he attacks us, we just take the word of God and command him to get out. We need to kick him out of our wives, out of our children. In fact, the other day I had this story is an awesome story. It was on the question and answer. Has anybody listened to their teaching on question and answer? It's on there. When you get to it. I was out of town somewhere. And I met this couple. I was visiting with another couple, and I met this other couple, and while I was there, he needed to do something to the water well, so we drove a couple of miles down the road to fix his water well. Well, we went down there and fixed the well. I brought him some parts for it. So we got his well fixed. I talked to this other gentleman about Jesus. He wouldn't hardly ever say anything. His wife, she was very talkative. So when we got back to the house where I'd visited, he got in his car and drove off, went home. I lived somewhere up here in the Dallas area or something. Anyway, that lady, after her husband left, she said, "Sir, it's obvious you have studied this book." "Yes, ma'am, I have studied this book. I have read this book no telling how many times." I said, "Why?" She said, "My husband told you he was a Christian." But she said, "He's not a very good Christian." She said, "He lies to me. He abuses me. He's really," I've been married to him, I forget how many years. She said, "I've been married to him all these years," but said, "he's really not a very nice man." And she said, I'm thinking about divorce. After 30 or 40 years, whatever. I said, ma'am, you don't realize who the problem is. It ain't your husband. It's the devil. She said, what do you mean? I said, he's sinned somewhere, opened the door, and he's got demons. That's demons that you're fighting against, and you're fighting against them physically, and you can't. You got to use spiritual rules. She said, what are you talking about? I said, that's the devil. Let me show you this scripture in Luke 10, 19, 20. I showed her that scripture, how much power we had, and I showed her several things. Showed her where we could cast out devils. They had to obey us and all these things. She said, I never seen those scriptures. I said, that doesn't surprise me at all. But I said, I have come to realize these weapons, they work. So she said, what are we going to do? I said, me and you and this other couple, that we're going to all kneel right here on the floor, and I'm going to take authority over your spirits and your husband, and I'm going to command those spirits to leave your husband and go to the abyss and never come back. I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name to put a Holy Spirit-filled, loving spirit inside your man and totally change his life forever. What did God say we could ask for?
Anything.
So it depends on how big your anything is. Do you believe in anything? So anyway, we knelt on the floor and I bound those spirits. I commanded those spirits out. I did everything the Word of God told me to do. Then I got up. I said, Lord, thank you. It's done. I said, woman, I guarantee when you get home, you'll have a brand new husband. She said, okay. She said, I've never heard anything like this. And I just want you to know, sir, I have a real problem believing that's going to affect my husband. He's 100 miles away. Did Jesus cast out devils, people that were a long ways away?
Yes.
So he said, if you believe me, you can do the same things I do. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
Not only shall you do what I do, but greater things than he said I've done shall you do in my name. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So anyway, after I kicked those devils out, I come on back home. About 2 months later, I got a letter. Sir, this is so-and-so. I want you to know I didn't believe what you said that day when you said about my husband. She said, when I got home, I had a brand new husband. She said, my husband has been the sweetest, nicest, loveliest, most wonderful man. He is the man and husband I've always wanted, and he's that man now. She said, whatever you did worked. She said, I didn't know where you lived. I didn't know your name or nothing. So I drove 100 miles from where we lived to that house where I met you, that you was with that couple. And that lady was still there. She happened to be there that day. And she said, yes, that's Thurman Scrivener. I said, she didn't even know your address and everything. And so she said, she gave it all to me. I'd had to write you and tell you that that prayer changed my husband's life and my life forever. And I want to say thank you. Now then, if we believe this book, instead of throwing away so many people, we'd do something in faith, wouldn't we, Baron? Do you have that power? I mean, Baron, he's a big old weightlifter. He can just pick up tons of weight. I mean, just literally. But, you know, he might be a picker-upper of tons of physical weight. If he don't know the Word of God, he's a wimp. He's a wimp. But he's learning the Word of God. Boy, is he ever learning it. So when he gets to be as big spiritually as he is physically, you better watch out. You see what I'm coming from? But you're going to get there, ain't you, Baron?
Absolutely.
He's working on it night and day. He's going to get to be that big, strong, healthy man. So when we pray for people, if Jesus says we can ask for anything, if we're His, and we're in covenant with Him, and if you're a believer in Jesus, you're in covenant with the Master. And then He's given you all these spiritual, this power, the Holy Ghost. I mean, just think, the gift of miracles. It's ours if we desire. And some of us have never even asked, never dreamed that we could do those kind of things. But the gift of miracles, the gift of power, it's yours. So desire these wonderful gifts. Just think what you can do. I think about that woman. They come to my healing school down in Hearst. When she told me her daddy was 84, whatever it was, and And he didn't love Jesus. Said she. I went into my daddy's house the other day and tried to tell him about Jesus, Thurman, and he literally threw me out of the house. I mean, threw me out. She was crying, and she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, woman, the first thing you're going to do is stop crying. I said, we ain't gonna, there ain't no tears where I walk. We don't need no tears. I said, you and me, we're going to kick that devil. I said, that's the devil. He's blinded your daddy's mind. I said, the scripture clearly says, if there's any lost, they're lost because the God of this world has blinded their mind to the truth. Is that right?
Yes.
So if somebody, a friend of yours or a loved one is lost and they're not living according to God's word, you have power over their life.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. So I told her, I said, we're going to kick that devil out of your daddy. She said, Thurman, he has a free will. I said, not when I pray, he don't. I mean, according to God's word, that's scripture.
Yep.
Proverbs, it clearly says, you know, that the heart will, the Lord will move on a man's heart according to your prayer. So when you kneel and come boldly into the throne room, now don't come in like a wimp. Walk in there like a son or a daughter of God and walk in and say, Daddy. You know, this brother back here's got these four beautiful children, and I bet you when one of those children needs something, I bet they don't come in like a wimp. They come in and say, Dad, I need this or I need that. Is that right? That's the way your kids do? Yeah, I mean, you know, they're good kids. They know that Daddy's Daddy, and you need to know that your Daddy is Daddy. You need to know your Jesus is your brother, and you need to know the Holy Spirit is your comforter, and you need to know that all of His promises are yes and amen. So when you come boldly into the throne room of God, you can come in like a lion and tell Him, okay, Lord, I got this problem. I got a man down here that's 84 years old. He don't love You. I know his eyes are blinded by the God of this world, but Scripture says, if I kick that devil out and I make him leave, I can ask You to send the Holy Spirit to convict that man of sin. Draw him into the kingdom, gloriously save him, and fill him with the Holy Ghost. People say, I didn't know we could do this. That's what's wrong with us. We don't know. So anyway, I took that 84-year-old man to the throne of God. I took his daughter. We and her went up there, and two of us agreed, and we kicked the devil out of him. And then I told him, I said, now, Lord, since he's been lost so long, he's been so mean and so wicked, whenever You save him, I ask You to fill him with the Holy Ghost and put the Spirit of gift of tongues in him, where everybody will have to know that he is on fire for Jesus. I told that girl after I got through praying, I said, okay, girl, it's done. Guarantee your daddy's going to get saved. Wow, wasn't it 2 or 3 weeks? She called me and said, Thurman, you ain't going to believe what happened to my daddy. I said, oh, yeah, I know it was good, wasn't it? She said, my daddy got saved. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he is speaking in tongues. She said, my daddy's a totally different man. She said, our veterinarian, he called the veterinarian for something, and he said, well, what are you doing? He said, man, I got saved. He said, man, I've known you 80 years. You've been a devil all these years. He said, I ain't believing you got saved. He said, well, come over here and see me. So he jumped in his car, and the girl said it didn't take 15 minutes for that vet to get over to her dad. And said when he walked in the door, Daddy was talking in tongues. He said, if I hadn't seen this with my own eyes, I'd never believe this. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? We don't have no faith. We don't believe. These promises are all yes and amen. And God clearly told you He never says no. Never says no to His obedient children. Well, are you going to be an obedient children? Yes, you're going to be an obedient daughter or son. And when somebody's lost, pray for them. You don't have to even be there. They say, well, I'm in Dallas and they're in New York City. It don't make no difference where you are. I mean, when I read that scripture for the Syrophoenician woman, when she comes to the Lord and says, Lord, my daughter lies at home vexed with a demon. I need You to go heal her. Wouldn't even look at her. He just kept on walking. She comes up and says, Lord. Peter says, Lord, you want me to tell her to go away? She's bothering you? He said, no, no. He says, what do you want, woman? Of course, he says, she gets up and comes around in front of him. She kneels in front of him and begins to worship him. You're getting somewhere when you learn to worship the Master. So anyway, she started worshiping the Lord. And the Lord says, woman, what do you want? She said, I have a daughter that needs to be healed. He said, I didn't come for the dogs. I came for the children. She said, but the puppy dogs get the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. He said, woman, because of your great faith, go home. Your daughter's delivered and healed. And she was in another country. But he delivered her, didn't he? Well, the first time I found this little girl that was 6 years old that had those demons in her toes, that's the first time I learned that. I had a little six-year-old girl that had athlete's foot so bad her feet was eat up. I tried to tell her mother and daddy in church, at the Baptist church up here in Justin, that was a demon, and that I had power to cast it out, and they both thought I was crazy. That's okay. You know, if you do something for Jesus, there's going to be a few people think you're crazy. Isn't that right? Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. So anyway, I knelt in the bed. After nobody would listen to me, I tried to talk to them 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. They would not believe that their daughter had a demon in her feet, although her toes are eat up. Anyway, I knelt on the side of my bed. I can still remember that night. I knelt on the side of the bed. Nobody home but me. And I sat there and put my hands up on top of the bed, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you told me that I have power and that I can do everything, even what you did, even greater things. I said, I got this little girl that's got athlete's foot so bad. And I said, these demons are eating her feet up. And I'm going to command those spirits to leave that little girl. I'm going to command them to go away and leave her alone. And then I'm going to ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to heal her little feet. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. It's written because you made me the promises, and I have a covenant with you. The next Sunday, the mother come running up to me, Thurman, did you pray for our daughter? I said, well, kind of. I didn't want to say I cast a demon out of her, because that's what I did. I commanded those spirits to leave. I said, why? She said, because her feet are healed. I said, oh, great. Thank you, Lord. I said, yes, I prayed for her. But anyway, they don't want to hear. When I walk up and say, what's wrong with you? You got a demon. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. So anyway, I told them, I said, now I need to get with y'all and show you what causes this so it won't come back. All of a sudden, we're okay. She's totally healed. I said, yeah, but she ain't going to stay healed if you don't learn the truth. I mean, these demons will come back when they're cast out. If you don't fill that cup, they're going to come back. Is that what it says? Matthew clearly says these demons, when a man casts demons out of somebody, if you don't fill the house, they come back. When they find that house empty, they come back in the second state of that person is worse than the first. We're okay, Thurman. I said, no, you're not okay. But they never would. They never would. Never would let me talk to them. Nothing. I finally give up. And I don't know, several weeks, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 months later, they came to me and said, Thurman, we got a problem. I said, what's that? They said, our daughter's athlete's foot has come back with a vengeance. I said, I told you. I told you that's what was going to happen. But you wouldn't believe. She said, well, I'm listening now. I said, okay. I said, let me tell you what to do. I told the mother. She was there with a little girl, 6-year-old girl. I said, this is what Daddy has got to do. Daddy's the spiritual head of the home. He's the one who has to cast out these spirits. He's the one who's going to have to pray for the healing. I said, but it'll happen. So anyway, she went home and she told her husband what I told her. He looked at her and said, Thurman lives in a different place than the rest of us here at the Baptist Church. But he said, I remember when Philip Wren had all those warts and scars all over his body for 8 years. And Thurman went down to their house and prayed over Philip, and within a few weeks, there was not a wart or a scar left on Philip's body. They were all gone. So if he told you to tell me to do something, I'll listen. That should have an impact, shouldn't it? That'd be just like going to a doctor. And Brother Solomon, so whatever he does, whatever kind of doctor he was, if I had something that I needed his help, and I went and he gave me some medicine or told me what was wrong and it fixed it, and I was completely healed right then, he'd be my doctor for life. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
When you find somebody that knows what he's doing, you stay with them.
Yep.
So anyway, we tried our best to get this little girl healed. And of course, the daddy, I told him, I said, you're going to have to read Luke 10:19-20, Matthew 18:19. You're going to have to read those verses over and over and over, because you got to believe what you're doing with no doubt in your heart. So they read those scriptures over and over and over. Then he went in and he kicked that devil out. He told his little daughter, woke her up at 11 o'clock at night. Her feet's eat up. I mean, just eat up. Just terrible. He said, honey, I'm fixing to cast some demons out of your feet. She said, okay, daddy, whatever. I trust you completely. So he cast those demons out. Then he got his wife in there and said, now, honey, Matthew 18:19 says, if two of us agree about anything, is that what he said, Kim? He'll do it for us. So we're gonna lay hands on our baby, and we're going to ask the Lord, we're going to command his spirit to leave, and then we're going to ask the Lord to heal her little feet and make them perfect. No problem, and no scars, in Jesus' name. Put her to bed. Next morning, 7 o'clock, Russell goes in to check his little daughter, goes in and pulls a sheet off of her little feet and said, honey, daddy wants to see your feet before he goes to work. She looked down and tears started coming out of her eyes. She said, daddy, it worked. Her feet were perfect and beautiful overnight. Isn't God awesome? That little girl to this day is still the holiest girl in town. I mean, she don't put up with no nonsense. I mean, remember when she was in the basketball team, she was a really number one basketball player. I asked her mother one night when I was down at a game where they were all playing. I said, how's your baby? And she said, Thurman, she don't have no friends. I said, what do you mean? She said, she don't have any friends. Said, if you stay here and watch a little of the ball game, you'll find out why. I said, what do you mean? She says, the other night a girl made a statement on the court. One word of profanity. My daughter stopped in the middle of the court, threw her hands up and says, game stopped until we stop cussing. No cussing here. We don't cuss to Justin. And she says, she don't have no friends. None of the girls want to be around her. All I can say is we need more girls like that. We need more girls like that little girl. That little girl is still a holy girl. I mean, to this day, she's working at a school. She worked in a bank for a while. But she is a holy girl. But that little girl still remembers when she was 6 years old what her feet looked like until this man that came along that everybody thought was crazy. I told her daddy and mama what to do, and they did it. And God did it. Amen. And God did it. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
So what is wrong with us? What's wrong with us, Mike?
Unbelief.
Unbelief. That's what it is, isn't it? Unbelief. Don't you think we need to get rid of that demon of unbelief?
Yes.
Stop hiding behind it.
Yeah. We need to throw that beast out. You know, when you read this book, you'll read this book with an open mind, an open heart. This is God's mighty word to you and me. And it's to think, all these promises are yours. And all of them are yes.
Amen.
Yes and amen. Now that if you sin, he tells you to write quick. If you sin, confess that sin. Don't leave the door open to the devil. Remember what the scripture says? If you don't sin, he can't touch you. But boy, if you do sin, he can knock your blocks off. You don't want that. Don't let him do it to you. Wow. Just think. The power he's given us. In fact, there's one of the young men from, I think he was from Kansas. Him and his wife came to the healing school, and he tells me, he said, Pastor, somebody 4 years ago, or I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, somebody gave me a copy of God's Power, a CD by the name of God's Power. He said, I listen to that CD every day. I drive an hour plus each way to work. I listen to that CD every day going and coming. He said, it has blown my faith through the roof. He said, I want to be like you. I thought, boy, did that bless me to find out there's a 40 or 50-year-old man out there who wants to be like me because I'm a man of God. He don't be like me because I'm a great football player or basketball player. No, that's the, he wants to be like me because I'm a man that knows Jesus.
Amen.
That's what he wants. He wants to know Jesus too. And just think, for 3 or 4 years, if you're listening to God's Power over and over and over, it's got to have some kind of an impact on you.
Oh,
I told him, I said, son, you keep believing, and one day you'll be able to make your own CD.
Amen.
See, I mean, I can remember a day when it hadn't been 20 or 30 years ago, whatever. I didn't have no testimonies. None. Not one. But I've been a Christian since I was 11.
Yes.
So something wrong with this picture, right? When we get saved, we ought to start. We ought to be in a church that teaches the Word of God. And we need to learn how to do things. So we need to start having testimonies, just like these things. Cheryl, we read those every day. We have testimonies every Sunday. Isn't that true? And just think of y'all. Some of y'all here in your own self, in your own business, y'all have testimonies every Sunday. If I was just open the floor and said, tell me whatever happened at your place of business this week, well, that's as far as we'd get. We'd still be here at 9 o'clock tomorrow. But I love it. Don't you love it?
Yes.
Being in a place where God shows up?
Yes.
Wow. Praise God. Okay. What, honey? It's all over. It's all over. We're going to have another good week this week. And are we going to go out and do something good for Jesus this week? Are we all healed?
Yes.
We're all healed. We're going to be healed. We're going to stay healed. Anytime we see anybody has a need, now it don't have to be healing. If anybody has a need for anything, what kind of power do you have over their circumstances?
All.
So pray a bold prayer of faith. I mean, shock these people. Do like I did that woman down there in South Texas. I mean, it would drive 100 miles to find who I was. She said, that prayer changed her husband's life forever and made him the man that she wanted all of her life as a husband. How many women needed to find that prayer? A lot of them. Wow. Ain't that something? All power. And the Master just said it so cool. To anyone that believes in me. Do you believe in Jesus? Well, he's talking to you. To anyone that believes in me, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. And he meant that, didn't he? Yeah. Now then, if you're going to need prayer today, I've got prayer warriors, and I'm going to ask my prayer team to stand up. And you see who these prayer teams are, and if you need to be prayed for, these people believe what I've been teaching. They believe and they see miracles all the time. So if you need a prayer answered, you need to tackle one of these couples, one of these people, and tackle them gently with the word. But get them to pray and let them be forceful with the word and kick those devils out of you and get you set free and change your life forever. Amen? Okay, so if you need prayer, that's it. If you want any of the CDs or DVDs, there's 1,000 of them here, different kinds. You have as many as you want. Take you a sack, take them home, give them to your friends. All these kind of teachings are all over this room, you know, and they're there and they're for you. So, they're free. We don't charge nothing for them. Leave them out there for you to get for free. And if you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. And if you don't want to give, you don't have to give nothing. Everything here is free. Everything. It only costs the Master. It costs him big time. And he give it to you, just like we do. So thank you, Father. We praise you and worship you for this beautiful day and the things that you do and the power you've given us in the Word and the answers to prayer you've given us. We thank you for healing. Everybody was at the healing school yesterday and answering every prayer that needs to be prayed today, that you will bless everybody that we pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed.